A Kiwi Christmas. Early in December, Jane and Michael came with their parents to live in New Zealand. They stayed with their cousins. It was great fun at first, but now it was Christmas Eve and they were beginning to feel homesick. "You mustn't think of England," their mother told them. "Christmas is very different in New Zealand, and you'll have a lot of fun with Sue and Brent."
"Yes, but does Santa Claus know that we've come to live on the other side of the world?" Jane argued.
"I'm sure his fairies would have told him," her mother assured her.
"We always used to go caroling on Christmas Eve," Michael said. "It was fun standing outside people's homes under the streetlights and singing."
"You were always pleased to get home again and have a hot drink," Jane reminded him.
"Your auntie told me that we're going to carols by candlelight," said Mother. "It could be fun." As dusk began to fall, they set off for the botanical gardens in their town. As they walked in the gate, they were each given a candle on a cardboard disc. Many people were sitting on rugs on the grassy banks. It was calm and peaceful in the cool evening air. The gently sloping banks encircled a basin which formed a natural theatre. Birds settled in their trees to sing their evening songs, and the heavy perfumes of flowers and bushes hung in the air. One by one, dots of lights appeared here and there as people lit their candles. Then suddenly it was dark, and the gardens looked like a bright glowworm cave. The children watched the burning wax as it dripped down their candlesticks onto the discs. It could burn if it fell on your arm or leg. A large cross came alight, and a choir beneath it began to sing carols. The band played, and all the people joined in. Then a woman in a long white frock stepped forward and sang a solo. Her voice sounded like an angel's, soaring above the treetops and out into the darkness. A group of school children acted the Christmas story, and then the band played again for everyone to join in more carols. They were tired and contented when it was time to go home. Then it was off to bed and to sleep to wait for Santa Claus. They all woke in the morning to find presents at the end of their beds. "He knew where to find us," Jane shouted out in delight.
She and Michael rushed to the window, as they always did on Christmas morning, to see if there was snow on the ground. But the sun shone warmly back at them. It was high in the sky already. Last Christmas morning they had put on boots, coats, gloves and scarves and gone out into the garden to build a large snowman. Then they heard the bells from their village church ringing out across the crisp, frosty air, and their mother had called them in to get ready to go to the carol service. But their mother had said not to think of England, so they went into the lounge with their New Zealand cousins to see what Santa had bought for everyone. And then they had a lot of fun opening the presents under the tree. They dressed in their best summer clothes, and their uncle drove them all to the local church for a short service. As the sun climbed higher in the sky, it became warmer and warmer.
"I'm too hot to eat Christmas dinner," Michael complained.
"You won't be once you see all the good things to eat," his father told him. "I am hungry already." There was lamb, green peas and new potatoes, followed by plum pudding. "The children usually have fruit salad and ice cream if it's a hot day," Auntie explained. "But the grown-ups always like to have some Christmas pudding."
"What did you have for Christmas dinner in England?" Sue and Brent wanted to know.
Jane and Michael told them about the turkey and roast vegetables and plum pudding with silver coins inside. "Daddy used to pour brandy over it and bring it to the table alight with flames," they said. After dinner, the grown-ups packed food into chili bins. The children gathered their swimming things together and they all went down to the river. First they spread rugs out on the grass under the trees. Then Jane and Michael followed Sue and Brent down to the water. The current was flowing quickly over smooth, rounded stones. "It's a bit too shallow just here," Brent called out, "but there's a good swimming hole just down a bit." A tree had fallen into the river, forming a small dam. There were a few other children sitting on the rocks and splashing about in the water with beach balls and lilos. "How deep is it?" Brent called out to them. "Up to my shoulders," one of the boys told him, and stood on the bottom to show him. They swam and dived and splashed and played for a long time, then came out onto the shingly beach to lie in the warm sun and dry out. Jane and Michael thought back to Christmas afternoon last year. It had snowed heavily and become dark mid-afternoon. They had a cheery fire burning and had played games with their parents while the lights and stars on the tree twinkled gaily in the corner of their sitting room. "Tea time!" Auntie called out to them. Spread out on a cloth under the trees were ham, tomatoes, several kinds of salad, fruit and jellies and trifle. "Help yourselves, everyone," she said, as she gave them each a plate, knife, fork and spoon. "It doesn't seem like Christmas, but it's a lot of fun," Jane said laughingly. They were all hungry after their swim, and there was plenty to eat. When they had all finished, the grown-ups packed away while the children played rounders with a softball and bat. It was quite a bit later when the sun began to go down and the air became cooler. Jane and Michael felt stinging sunburn on their skins. After the short drive home, the children were sleepy and ready for bed, while the grown-ups sampled some Christmas cake with a glass of wine. "We've all had a very happy Christmas after all," Jane said. "It is fun to have a different sort of Christmas," Michael said. "I wonder if it snowed in our village this year."